Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today. Glory to God. Had a beautiful rain this morning. Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I mean, it's awesome to know that you are a child of the King. I remember years ago when a nephew of mine from Waco, a friend of his, said, I was just watching a pastor on church, on TV, and I won't say who it was, but he's really a good one. And he said, he just said that we are gods. And he said, I just turned him off. I thought, man, that guy is wrong. He don't know what he's talking about. He said, come over and ask my nephew. He said, what do you think about a statement like that? He said, man, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But he said, my uncle, let me call my uncle. I want to see what he's got to say about this. So he called me. He said, Uncle Thurman, I just had this man come over. And he said he was listening to a man preach, and he said, we are gods. He says, what do you think about that? Is he crazy? I said, well, I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I'll let the Word answer it for me. I said, let's go to Psalms. There it is, 82:6. Yeah, that's it. And I have said, this is God talking, you are gods. You notice that's a little g now. It's not a big one. And all of you are children of the Most High. Okay, now if God calls us gods, I think we ought to start seeing ourselves as a God. Not him, of course. He is God. And then let's go to John 10:35. And Jesus is talking. He said, and if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Okay, now that if those two scriptures we just read is true, I said, then what do you think? And he said, wow, I never saw that. And I said, that's why we get in trouble. I said, because we don't see ourselves like the scripture. That's just exactly what Dave just said. We do not see ourselves as God sees us. Would it change the way you do business if you looked at yourself and say, I am a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and since I'm his child, then I'm a God. I'm a little God. I'm not the master. But when you have children, you know, you're Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. When you have children, are they just like you? They are. They are. They're little children. They're just little, but they're not big like you, but they're little. But they're and just give them a few years, and they'll be just as big as you are. They really will. But people don't see themselves like that. Like Dave said, I was told in the church that I went to most of my life, I was an unworthy sinner saved by grace. So get over it. There ain't no way you can go through the day without sinning. You know, you can't do it, so forget it. You're just an unworthy sinner saved by grace. Well, I was unworthy, and I was a sinner, and I was saved by grace. But now I'm a son of God. Amen. I'm a joint heir with the King. You know, I mean, I changed. Everything became new when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to tell you for sure, until you see yourself like that, you'll never see him do the things that he wants to do through you until you see yourself as a son of God. When you see yourself as a child of the King, that's when you can walk boldly into the throne room of God and say, Dad, I have a need. And he says, yes, son. Yes, daughter. Anything you, and he told us that over and over and over. Last week, we talked about the new covenant and what's available to us if we'll walk in love. He only gave us one commandment under the new covenant. How many of us remember what it is?
Love.
Love. That's exactly right. That's all the commandments he gives us is to love one another just like him. And when we love just like him, he said, you can come and ask me for anything and I will do it. Well, you got to see yourself as a son of God. I mean, I remember one time we were over in Dallas several years ago. I was teaching a Tuesday night Bible study, and some guy came in with one of the girls. I guess he was a friend or whatever. And she got him to come to class with her. And so we were sitting there talking, you know, just like this. And I said something about what we should do or whatever. And all of a sudden, who we were, and I was teaching these principles basically like this, and he held up his hand, and I said, yes, sir, you got a question? He said, yes. I said, what's that? He said, I guess the next thing you're going to say, we're supposed to be perfect. And I said, well, I ain't going to touch that with a 10-foot pole either, but I'm going to let the Word of God answer that for you. I said, now, do you think it's possible for you to be perfect? He said, absolutely impossible. I'm just a man. I said, okay, I'm sorry you see yourself like that. But I said, you know, I want you to turn in the scripture. Let's see what Matthew 5:48 says. Look at it. Be ye therefore wicked sinners, Oh, that ain't what it said, huh? Well, that's what he just said. He was a wicked sinner. He might be saved by grace, but he can't go through the day. He says, so be ye therefore perfect. And what kind of perfect are we supposed to be? As our Father. He gave us a full description. You're not supposed to be perfect like Thurman. You know, when you're young, and if you don't believe boys think they're perfect, just ask them. You know, you don't have to. I mean, most young boys, you know, I mean, they're running around strutting their stuff. If they can do anything, if they went out and got an education, they can build or design or do anything. They're some kind of brilliant. You want to ask them if they're perfect? You don't have to tell them. You know, let me tell you what I've done in my life. You don't even have to ask those boys. They'll tell you. They'll volunteer the information because it's amazing how they see themselves. And to think that we can train young boys or young girls to think there's somebody on this earth, but it's so difficult to train them to think and to know that you're a God, a son of God. I don't know about you, but my Father is God the Father. Is yours God the Father? If he's my Father and I'm his child, does that make me a God? I mean, he said so two places, didn't he? So if he calls me a God, I believe I'm a God. Don't you, Scott? Yeah. So if we're little gods and we're children of the Most High God, Gracie, what should we be able to do? Anything. That's exactly right. We should be able to do anything. Just like Dave said, I had a wonderful mother that knew Philippians 4:13. And she believed it. And so, you know, when I was a little young guy, that Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay, now, if Paul put that in there and he gives that to you and me, if somebody gives that to you as a young man, especially your mother or your dad, it would have been better if it had been my dad. But unfortunately, it happened to be my mother. She was the stronger spiritual person in our home. My dad was more the worker, the guy that went out and worked like crazy to make us a living. But he was a good man, but he was a hard worker, but he didn't have near the knowledge of God's word as my mother did. And my mother, you know, she read the Bible a whole lot more than Dad did, but at least that I knew of. But I can remember my mother always telling me this, son, remember what Philippians 4:13 says. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. So she said, he's given you the power to do anything you want to do in your life. You can do anything. There's no limits to what you can do. Because God told you, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So if I hear that over and over and over, instead of this, you little dummy, can't you do anything right? I was in the grocery store the other day picking up some little things, and there was a lady in there, and she was running her two or three children, and she got one of them, put it in the butt, and she swatted them on the backside and said, you little dummy, can't you do anything right? So I walked over and had a talk with her. I mean, when you start talking negative things to your children, yeah, they may not be my children, but if I'm there, you're going to get a talking to. Amen. See, that's a good part about getting old, you know. People they won't say things back to you like if it's a 20-year-old kid. They might give us a hard time, right? But they kind of respect age. And thank God, you know, because they need it. You know, when you take a 23, 25, 28-year-old mother, she's telling her children they're dummies and don't know nothing either. You should never tell your children that. You should tell your children they're going to become sons of God. You know, you're praying for them. Jesus is going to open their heart. They're going to become sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then when they do, all power and all authority is given to you by the Father in heaven. I mean, you need to have that in your heart, that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am a son of God and nothing is impossible with me. I mean, when you learn to think like that, just last night, a lady that has been to several of my teachings was, I think she was in Alabama or somewhere, and she called in a panic, said, have Thurman, Cheryl, please have Thurman rebuke the storms. This tornado is down here in this area. We are, and we need some help. There's a tornado down here. So immediately Cheryl and I, we went to the throne of grace. I rebuked the tornado, commanded it to go away and everything, just because, just like Dave said there a while ago, how much do you and I have dominion and authority over? So what does all leave out? I don't know what we think about. So I had no problem whatsoever of rebuking this tornado, commanding it to dissipate, and it's in Alabama, and I'm here in Justin, Texas. I have no problem. There is no distance in speaking the word of God, because my Father is the one who makes it all happen, and he's everywhere. And so we did that, and we thanked the Lord, praised Him for it, and then we just kind of forgot it. I said, it's done, praise God. And it wasn't just 30 minutes. She called back. She said, praise God, right after I called, said everything started getting calm, and the storm went away, and the tornado disappeared. And I said, well, what did you expect? If you expected it not to happen, guess what happened? It ain't going to happen, because when you do something as a son or a daughter of God, you got to do it in 100% faith. If you don't do it in 100% faith, it won't work. Isn't that amazing? Now then, I want us to go in the NLT to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I want us to talk about what this book is for. This book is an owner's manual for life. I was talking to a man the other day, and we were talking about the Word of God, and I said, you know, my owner's manual. He said, your what? I said, my owner's manual for life. He said, you know, I've been a Christian, been in church all my life. I ain't never heard anybody refer to the Bible as an owner's manual. But he said, you're absolutely right. That's what it is. I said, absolutely, that's what it is. He said, man, do you mind if I use that term? I said, man, it's not an original with me. I don't, you know, I said, use it all you want to. I said, but it is an owner's manual for life. Look what it says. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Verse 2. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. So do we need this? Oh, no, we don't need this. You know, we're just automatically smart enough to know all that, aren't we? I don't know about you, but I was born with a blank computer. It didn't have no software in there. It might have had a lot of software in there to make it work, but it didn't have no information put in it, did it? I had to learn. I didn't even know what the colors were. When I was born, I didn't know what the color that was, did I? Somebody had to tell me. Somebody had to teach me everything I've learned my whole life. And it's so sad that we teach our children so many bad things instead of who they are in Christ and good things. These proverbs, these things are awesome. Okay, verse 3. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Now, I know nobody wants a disciplined life. You want to do what you want to do, right? I mean, that's the way people are. I mean, nobody wants nobody to discipline them. I mean, but then the next one, everybody wants a successful life, don't they? How many of you would like to have a successful life? I want a successful life, absolutely. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. Now, how many of you like to be around people that's got disciplined children? Oh, everybody held up their hand. Well, maybe we ought to do some work then. You know, so, you know, children... I like that, those in the grocery store. It's amazing where you go and what you do. And I remember one time over at Lakeland, when I used to be a deacon and everything over at Lakeland, that I had two little children, Tim and Amanda. They were 2 years apart. I mean, my wife nearly always sat in the nursery so much of the time. She was one of the head ladies in the nursery. That was her gift of God to sit with the children. And Lakeland had a big nursery, big, big nursery. So our two children was unchaperoned. And so when they would come in, you know, from their little Bible study classes, I would tell them, just go right on down to the front row. I said, I put a deal on the front row. That was our place to sit. Since I was a deacon and an usher, I always sat on the front row on the right side over there. I said, that's our seat. So I said, I put my Bible down there. You kids go down there and sit down. You can write or draw or do whatever you want to do, but no talking. No getting up, walking around. I want you to sit right there and be still and don't bother nobody. Do you understand? Yes, Dad. Okay, so get down there. Well, the first time one of them didn't do what I said, and they picked up and moved. And I went down and said, did you understand what I said? Well, yes, Dad. So I said, well, then what are you doing over here? Instead of right there. Well, I said, no, okay. I said, when we get home today, I'm going to give you 3 licks for this. Do you understand me? Daddy. I said, no questions asked. Don't do it again. 3 licks. It only takes once or twice, you know, and they remember real quick, you know. So after that, they come down, they sit down, they don't move, they just write or draw or whatever. They don't go nowhere. And I was back in the back seating a lady one day, and she come in and with her 3 children. I was seating them, and they were all over the place. She says, you know, I've been coming here for a while, and I know those 2 children set up on the front are yours. And she said, you don't ever have to go up there, say anything to them or anything. See, she got to it after the fact. See, so as far as these children were concerned, they knew what Daddy was going to do if they didn't obey. And so they were really good kids. She said, how do you make those children do that? I said, it's very simple. I just tell them to go down there and sit down and be quiet. She said, but I tell mine to do it and they don't do it. I said, well, there's only one difference, ma'am, between you and me. When I speak, I mean business. I said, when you speak, you're a liar. She said, what? I said, yeah, you're a liar. I said, if you tell your child to go down there and sit down and they don't do what you tell them, if you ain't right on their backside with a board or something to let them know that you mean business, I said, they're going to know you're an automatic liar. And I said, you'll lose those kids and you'll never get those kids to do anything. I said, we have to learn and teach our children discipline. And she said, you know, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, today would be a good place for you to start. Did God tell us to be truthful? Yes, he did. So if you say, son, sit down there and be quiet, and I don't want you up running around all over the place. Do you hear me? Yes, daddy. Okay, good. No problem. And 5 minutes later, he's off running all over the place. Hey, if you don't say a word, that kid automatically knows you're a liar. Now, see, God don't work like that. If God tells you in this book what he's going to do to you, if you don't obey him, he's going to do it. You're going to suffer. And that's why so many people today suffer the judgments of God, because he tells us everything in his owner's manual. He don't leave out a single thing. It's all in there. But he says here, their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. I mean, that all makes good sense, doesn't it? Do you like to be around a man or woman of integrity? You know, with some people, I've never changed. But used to, somebody could come in and say, you know, I'd like to buy this car from you for $500. I say, okay, no problem. I'll sell it to you for $500. And then another guy comes along the next day before we make the deal and says, I want to buy this car. I said, I've already sold it. He said, how much you sell it for? I said, $500. He said, I'll give you $700 for it. You signed a contract yet? I said, yeah, right here. I signed a contract. I told the man he'd have it for $500. But I'll give you $700 for it. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, you got here too late. He said, but you know, you could make $200. I said, no, that's not the way I do business. If I tell you I'm going to sell you this car for $500, then it's yours for us. I don't hear, somebody walks by and says, I'll give you $20,000 for that car. I'm still going to sell it to the guy for $500. And I'm going to tell him, if you want to really make some money, this guy wants to give you $20,000. But that's the way I do business. I am a man of integrity. You know, God says it. He likes it. This is the purpose of these Proverbs, verse 4. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple. Now, how many of us were simple when we first started? I mean, just about as simple as you can get. You didn't know nothing. I mean, when you were born, you didn't know. You couldn't do nothing. I mean, your mother or your dad had to teach you everything. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Well, have we all been young? Yes, we have. And it's really nice to be able to stay young. I will have to say, it's nice. I mean, just like Jimmy Davison was here the other day, 95, going on 96 years of age, has had one sick day in his life and can still drive a car at night without, from Colorado to here, come to a healing school. I'm telling you, that's something. That is something else. I mean, that guy has got it together. Where did he learn all this stuff? In the Word. He learned how to live according to God's Word, and boy, does it pay great dividends. I mean, I don't know another single man that's 95 years of age that can do what Jimmy can do. Not one. And of course, when I look at Jimmy, you know, I mean, if I didn't know he was 95, if he walked in and they say, how old do you think he is? I'd say, well, 60 or 65. You've seen him, right? Does he look old? Yeah, he looks 65. I mean, he is not old at all. Verse 5. Let's see what verse 5 says. Let the wise listen to these proverbs. What did he say? Let who listen? The wise. See, how many people don't listen at all when God's word is read? I ain't got time to the word of God. I'm going to go do my own thing. But the wise. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Just think what we can do if we'll read the owner's manual and listen to what it says and do what it says. The other day, I'll tell you something similar to this. Ben up here, one of my fine young men, boy sitting here on the front row, He told me the other day how much he appreciated all the things I've taught him just in the year or so that he's been here. I mean, he's helped me build buildings. I've taught him how to run electrical circuits. You've learned a lot of things, haven't you, Ben?
Yeah, it's been great.
But see, here is a young man that's looking for wisdom and knowledge and understanding because he remembers reading in God's Word where it says, do it. And when he takes an older man like me that has a lot of knowledge that he doesn't have, I explain things to him. And even the other day, he was trying to use some crescent wrenches and he had them backwards. He didn't know there was a right and a wrong. So I told him, I said, son, that's not the way you use them. Let me explain to you how a crescent works. And he didn't say, I don't need that, Mr. Scrivener. He said, I'm willing to listen. And I showed him. He said, man, that makes good sense. I'm so glad you showed me that. He learned something that he didn't know. See, a lot of people don't have any idea that a crescent wrench is to be used a certain way instead of backwards. And so they don't work when they work backwards, do they, Mike? They're designed to pull a certain way. See, Mike's a mechanic. He uses crescent wrenches. He knows. But wise men listen for wisdom. Well, where should that wisdom come from to these young people? From older people. You know, because when we were young, did I have that kind of knowledge? No. I mean, I was young and simple just like all the rest of us have been. We had to get God to get somebody to show us. And, I mean, how many times have you heard this old Proverbs? Well, he's 16 now. He knows everything. Have y'all heard that? So many of us, when we were 16, if you didn't think we knew everything, like I said, you didn't have to hang around us long. We'd tell you that, you know, my dad and mom, they don't know nothing. You know, I mean, 16, I know far more than they do, you know, 16. I mean, that's what they think, right? And then usually you hear this, wow, when they get to be 30 themselves, they say, wow, I didn't know how smart dad was. But he had a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom there. I didn't realize how smart he was. But if he had had these Proverbs teaching when he was 14 or 15 or 10 or 12, I'll tell you what, the other day, this to me, I am an engineer, I do build things and everything else, but I saw a truss out here in the shop the other day that Dave's son, Little John, which is not even 9 years old, he'd be nine Tuesday, he built a truss for that travel trailer out there. Built it, cut out all the pieces, done a table saw, and did everything, and put it together and glued it together, and it was perfect and flawless, exactly the fit, and he's not even 9 years old. Do you know, when I was 9 years old, if my daddy had let me use the table saw, but he didn't. But Dave, he has the patience of Job. You know, he can get in there with them and show them and explain to them and everything about how things work. And if you've got a child that will listen. Now, some kids that are 8 or 9 years old, hey, not even mute. Dad's sitting there trying to talk. They're thinking something else. So when you get through, Dave always asks, well, did you understand it? Yes. Can you explain it back to me? Who explains it back? If he's not able to explain it back, he's normal. You know, because he ain't listening. That's normal. Normal kids at 8 or 9, you know, they're looking right in the eye and you're telling them how to do something. And when they get through telling them, you say, did you hear what I said? Yes. Okay, now tell me back what I said. And they can't repeat a word you told them. You see? But they need wisdom, knowledge. And God says a wise young man seeks his guidance and direction so that he'll be able to really do something when he gets bigger. Wow. When you listen to what God's got to tell you as a young man, like you are right now, if you'll listen, when you get to be another 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years old, you'll be so much smarter than all the rest of them young men out there. They'll all be looking to you for advice. Y'all agree with that? We need some young men and women that will hear the words of God, the Proverbs, and be willing to listen so they can be a successful and prosperous person. You know, I was fortunate to be raised up with a good mom and dad, and they taught me a lot of things, and I did learn a lot of things. But I am so grateful that I had a good Christian home to be raised up in with a mother and a dad that taught me the principles of the kingdom, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I mean, the other day we were pouring a building 60 foot by 60 foot, and we were pouring this concrete slab. And we had two power trowels out there, a 3-footer and a 4-footer. Now, the 4-footer, all the boys say it's a 2.5 men machine. They say the 3-footer is a big boys machine. It's real easy to run. And they're absolutely right. And so when we were trying to pull this slab, my nephew, which is half my age, well, not a little more than half, but he'd run it just a little while and he was wore out. Then I took it and ran it a little while. And then Jeff finally said, I want to run it, Pastor. I said, okay. So I turned it over to him and he ran it just a little while and he quit. And I said, okay, I'll finish it. And so I took that big machine and I finished power trialing that slab. When I got through, Jeff come to me and he said, Pastor, if I ever saw Philippians 4:13 in operation, it was today with you. He said, the rest of us boys, which are half your age, or 2/3, we could not stay with that thing, and you ran that thing all day and beautifully polished that slab, and we're still going when we were all wore out. He said, you really believe you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Why do I believe that? Because I've heard it over and over and over, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can you? Amen. You can if you believe you can. Where did we learn these things? From the Word of God, from the Proverbs of life. Let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Do you know, so many of us think we're wise and we don't know nothing. I mean, you know, when I was a young boy like this young boy up here, I thought I was wise. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing. Oh, I thought I did, but I didn't know nothing. You know, my sister told me when she got out of college, she was the only one in our whole family that went and got a master's degree. She says, whenever she got her master's, I said, wow, I got this smart sister. You know, wow, graduated with a master's degree. I said, wow, I didn't go that far. I said, you're so smart. She said, well, you know what I learned, Thurman? I said, what? She said, I learned that there sure is a whole lot of things that I don't know. That's what she said. I'll never forget that. I learned a whole lot of things. There's a lot of things out there that I still don't know. Well, if you stay at that place where there is still a whole lot of things you don't know and you keep working on learning those things, you can continue to increase with knowledge and wisdom and do more and more and more. Just like I told Ben the other day, I said, son, if you hang with me for a while, the day's going to come, and he ain't too far from that now, where that you could even build your entire house for yourself. You're a whole lot closer to that you were a year ago, right, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot closer. But see, I was just like him one day. When my dad started building things, I had no idea how to do anything. I had to pay attention to Dad. And I learned watching my dad. And Ben's learning watching me, you know, and others. But when you get to be 75 years old, it's a shame when you see men that are down on the street corner that are in the gutter or in these whatever, and they don't have a business, don't know how to do nothing, don't even have a car paid for, and they're out begging, standing on the street corner. And then they say, well, I was in Vietnam. Whenever I hear a guy say, I was in Vietnam, and so I've been messed up, and I can't get, so I need you to give me some money. I tell him, son, I was in Vietnam, and I didn't come back messed up. I said, you don't have to live where you are just because you've been to Vietnam. You know, I was a fighter in Vietnam and it didn't mess me up. I'm not going to let that happen to me. I can do all things. I can go over there and I can fight a war and I can come back and still be useful to society.
Amen.
You know, I don't have to be all messed up just because I've been to Vietnam. It's a thing in your head and you've never realized who you are in Christ. There's a lady called me the other day, but she was sick and afflicted. She had all kinds of problems. I talked to her for an hour. She finally said, what do you think my problem is? I said, I know exactly what your problem is. You've never realized you're a daughter of the King. I said, the day it becomes a revelation to you that you are a daughter of the King, you're going to get healed. And it offended her. She hung up the phone. So a couple, 2, 3, 4, 5 days later, when she called back, she said, I finally realized, Mr. Scrivener, you're right. You're right. I don't know who I am as a daughter of the King. Because, see, if we realize that we were daughters and sons of the King, then he bore my sickness and removed my disease.
Amen.
So I turn that over to him and say, okay, I have all power and all authority over the demons of hell, and you bore my sickness, you removed my disease, so I'm going to let you have it, I'm not going to take it.
That's right.
So I'm not going to be sick. And somebody says, you know, you're crazy. Hey, I may be, but that's what the Word says. That's exactly what God's Word says. Now then, just like Dave said a while ago, he was a Christian for lots of years and didn't believe these things. But now then, he's beginning to believe these things. I mean, I have to say, the first day that I met Dave, when he had this terrible, terrible, terrible disease all over his body, fine Christian man, I told him, I said, son, I don't care what's wrong with you. If you'll do what I tell you from this wonderful book, I guarantee God will heal you. I mean, his first reaction was, you can't guarantee God will do anything. Well, see, he wasn't where he needed to be. If I'd have told him back in those days, you have no clue who you are in Christ, he would have said, you know, I'm offended. I am a child of God. No, he had no knowledge of who he was. Today he'll sit up here and tell you that, won't he? He told you a while ago. He went for years not knowing who he was in Christ. But today, from an incurable disease, the man's been healed for 10 years. You know, he's been healed for 10 years. He finally figured out who he was in Christ and how to get God to do wonderful things for him. And that's one of the Proverbs is telling us. We need to let the wise listen to these Proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. Verse 6, by exploring the meaning in these Proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And there's definitely some of those, all right. There's some of them things that are definitely riddles. Some things are not easy. But we're going to explore these and see what we can come up with. Verse 7, the church has lost their fear of God. You know, when I was a young man at home, I was always enticed by others to do things, to either go out drinking with them or to go out and break into a store. I even had some guys one night wanted me to help break into a store. You know, Thurman, you know, we could do some great things. We get some of that stuff. I said, you know, if I were to break into that store, but we won't ever get caught. I said, but if we ever did, my daddy would kill me. There wouldn't be enough meat on my backside left to walk. I said, it ain't worth it. Now, those guys didn't have a daddy like I had. They didn't have one like mine. They didn't have one that disciplined them and taught them, son, this is what you're supposed to do. In fact, I remember one time when I was a farmer with my dad, farming with dad. He was a farmer. I just helped him. But whenever every once in a while, maybe a piece of equipment we had would break in the middle of hay season or something, or we'd need to borrow one, extra one or something. I remember one time we borrowed a rake and a pull behind a tractor, and we were baling alfalfa hay, and I broke mine, and we had to have a rake because you can't let alfalfa lay on the ground more than a day. If you do, it's too dry. So anyway, I went over and I borrowed one, and the one I borrowed had probably 10 or 15 fingers already broken on it when I borrowed it. I probably broke another 10 while I was raking the hay. When I got through raking the hay, got it all up, got my hay baled, and got it all out of the pasture, I went to town to the tractor place, implement place, and I bought all the fingers that I needed to fix all the ones I broke, plus all the ones that were broken when I got it. When I took it back and put it in his yard or by his barn, it didn't have a single finger broken on it. He come to see me next day and said, Thurman, you didn't have to do that. I said, do what? He said, you put all new fingers that was broken on my tractor. I mean, on my rake. I said, well, it had 8 or 10 or 12 or whatever, 15 broken when I got it. And I broke another 10 or 15. So I just thought, my dad always told me, when I borrow something, take it back in better shape than I borrowed it. And so I said, that's what I did. He said, you know what? I don't run into many people like you. He said, you know, I got a lot of equipment out there by the barn. Anything you want. Don't even ask me. Just go get it. If you need it, it's out there. Now then, why would he tell me that? It's some very expensive equipment. But if I needed it, go get it. You don't have to come ask me. Just go get it. Why? Because he knew I was a man of integrity. Now then, if I'd have took that thing back when it had 15 fingers broken and I broke another 15, and now it's got 30 broken, and he come and see that, you know what he's going to say about this old boy? Don't you ever come borrow nothing else from me. You know, all you've done is tear it up. So, but there's too many people like that in the world today. Y'all know that? But if you have fear of the Lord, you know who you are and who you work for, and you know that if you don't do things right, then it's going to cost you significantly, because God don't like that kind of stuff. He wants you to do things right, and you learn that in the Proverbs. He said, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Now, if you don't want to be disciplined, you don't want to obey God, what does God call you?
Fool.
A fool. Now, who would want to be called a fool? Not me. I don't want nobody to call me a fool. But God calls us fools if we don't love discipline and understanding. We have no fear of God. God calls you a fool. Well, I don't want to be called a fool. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Let me tell you, wisdom. If there's anything in my life I've prayed for diligently, it's wisdom. I have prayed for that over and over, and sometimes two or three or four or five times in the same day. I'll need wisdom to do that. And of course, I've noticed as I'm around Dave, this has got to be a standard prayer. We're working on something. We can't find something. We're just trying. The Lord said, Dave immediately says, Lord, give us wisdom. We need wisdom to find this. We need wisdom to know how to do this. We need wisdom how to get this out or whatever. He's just constantly asking, why do you think he's getting where he can do anything? Because when you're attached to God, when you ask him for input, what does he give you? He gives you wisdom. He sure does. Praise God. Verse 8, my child, listen when your father corrects you. You know, lots of children don't listen when dad corrects them. My daddy had a razor strap. I know some of y'all may not know what a razor strap is, but some of the old men know what a razor strap is, but the young men don't know what that is. You know, we buy razors that are already sharp as they can be. We don't have to strap them, but used to, they had a leather strap about 3 inches wide, about that long, and that thing, you know, had a two sides on it. It's where you could hone the razor. Yeah, because the razors, you know, were big old knives, and you had to shave with those things. And let me tell you, these things we got today really ruins you. I'll tell you for sure, I love those sharp, sharp razors that somebody's got wisdom to do. But we had those things, and I can remember a couple of times in my life whenever my dad would tell me to do something, and I says, no, I don't want to do that. He says, son, I told you to do this, now do it. And I said, no. He just got up and walked over. And the first time he got up and walked, I just thought, well, he ain't going to say nothing. So he got over there, and he reached up on the wall and tucked the razor strap off the wall and turned around. He said, bend over right there. I said, what? He said, bend over right there. Got me by the back of the head, bent me over. Whap, whap, whap. About three times, he said, now then, when I speak to you, are you going to listen? I said, yes, 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 yes. I will listen. Somebody says, you're abusing that kid. God says the rod of correction will drive the devil out of your child, and it will not kill him. Amen. You've got to learn to do what God says. Good thing I'm not in Norway. Yeah, I know. Isn't that true? I preached it in Norway just like I preach it here, but in Norway, they lock you up. You talk about stupidity. Anytime you let a group of people drive the government to the point where if you lay hands on your child, they lock you up, that government needs to be locked up.
Amen.
You know, because it goes contrary to what the Word of God says. Now, when we start going contrary to the Word of God, what do we wind up with? A bunch of fools. That's what we wind up with, a bunch of fools. How many of you like to be around a bunch of fools? I want to be around disciplined young men that know something, that's got wisdom and knowledge, that come to God, that are willing to come to you and me as older men to say, Mr. Scrivener or whatever, can you help me or show me how to do this? And I said, if it happens to be my expertise, yes, son, I'll be happy to sit here and tell you how that works and show you how to do that so you can know some things. I want the young men today to be men of God. Men that know how to do all kinds of things, where nothing is impossible with them. I want, but God says they need to be children that has wisdom and discipline. He said if they reject that discipline and wisdom, they are fools. And of course, those kind of kids are the ones that grow up when they get to be 14 or 15 or 16. They're in prison or they're on drugs or they've done an overdose and their brain is burned out. I prayed for so many of those children. It's awesome the number of children that I prayed for that didn't have that wisdom, didn't have that right kind of father, that burned their brain out with drugs, alcohol, or something. You go down to the hospital on a Friday night, especially Parkland. Go to Parkland on a Friday night by after 10 o'clock at night, and the place will be packed with people that's either strung out on drugs. They were tore up on the street on a motorcycle because they were drinking. I've been there. I've been down there and seen it. And in fact, one time, the reason I know it was there because I was there, because I wasn't drinking. I never was a drinker. But I was driving a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, 35 miles an hour, and I lived in, down on, close to Oaklawn in a little house apartment down there, and I was working at the Dallas Air Motive, and I was out there one afternoon with my big, beautiful Harley. You know, I was proud of that thing. And this real nice-looking girl, she said, "That's your bike?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Would you like to take me for a ride on that?" I thought, would I ever like to take you for a ride? You know, I'm a young, dumb 18, 19-year-old kid. You know, I ain't got no wisdom. So sure, I said, jump on here. I cranked that thing. I said, get on. We took off. We were riding down, I think Harry Hines or wherever it was there, and about where Oakland and Harry Hines crossed, there used to be a railroad bridge there, and we was going to go around that corner. And as we was, as soon as I got started around that corner, I'm doing only about 35. I'm not going crazy. As I'm laying that thing over, I looked, and all of a sudden, there's all fresh gravel in the road. So I tried my best to turn that big old 700-pound bike right side up. I went toward the curb. I jerked the front end. When I was 18 years old, I was a bull in a china closet. You know, jerked the front end of that motorcycle up and jerked the front end completely off of the ground, and the front wheel missed the curb, but the back wheel hit the curb. When the back wheel hit the curb, it flopped that motorcycle upside down, put us right on the sidewalk, sliding down the sidewalk with a 700-pound motorcycle, me and her. And I had a pair of blue jeans on and a short sleeve shirt, no helmet, no nothing. She had a pair of short shorts and a sleeveless blouse on. And you talk about tearing two people up. It tore meat off of us. It tore my head up right here down to my eye. My bone right here was dragging the ground. My face was tore all to pieces. My right arm was tore up. Did I need a little wisdom? I needed a whole lot of wisdom that day. My right side was tore up. I mean, it tore my shoe and my britches off me. And of course, when I woke up or jumped up, it seemed like no time. I turned the motorcycle off, and it died. And the cop walked up about that time. He said, "Son, just lay down there. I've got the ambulance coming." I said, "I'm okay. I don't need an ambulance." He said, "You need an ambulance. You just don't know it." And it was summertime, so I thought, boy, am I sweating. And I did this like this to wipe the sweat off. And oh, my gosh, it was solid blood. I said, maybe I do need a doctor. Well, so they carried me to a doctor. I looked at myself. I'm tore all to pieces. I looked at her, and she's worse than me. You know, you can only imagine sliding down the sidewalk at 30 miles an hour with a sleeveless blouse on and short shorts. You can imagine what that girl looked like. So they carried us to the hospital, and I sat there. I'm hurting. I really think I'm hurting. Thank God they got her in pretty quick. But I'm sitting there, and I'm watching people coming in that had been hurt in motorcycle accidents and wrecks. One guy came in, a black guy. Remember this guy? He had been working in a liquor store, and they robbed the store, and they sliced him with a razor right down his face. His face was just laying opened up. Blood was just pouring out of him. And I thought, I ain't hurt at all. I said, you know, take him on in. I said, let me get out of the way. Let me sit over here on a stool or something out of the way. I mean, yeah, I got blood all over me, but compared to that guy, I said, take him in. And I sat there till 11 o'clock that night before they even looked at me. That's how busy they were at Parkland, but in the emergency room on Friday night. You know, and it's still happening. I think it's probably worse today. What have we done? The reason we got that many young people that's there, we don't have nobody teaching these Proverbs. They're not teaching the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding. I mean, my dad had tried to teach me. He said, now, son, when you buy that motorcycle, when I bought the motor, he said, please ride it sane. You know, don't be insane. Ride at the speed limit. Don't do things crazy just because you're on a motorcycle. He said, if you'll treat that thing right, it'll be a good source of transportation that'll get you places fairly reasonable. But he said, if you start trying to do stupid things and ride it too fast and slide around corners, he said, it's going to eat your lunch. It's going to hurt you. Well, you know, Dad, he knows all these things. And see, did I take that as good instruction? No, obviously not. I thought, never happened to me, but it did. Let me tell you, after that wreck, I brought that motorcycle back home. I fixed it up, and I put a for sale sign on it. And until I went to Japan in the Army, the Air Force, I never rode another motorcycle. I quit. My own grandson came to me the other day and said, Granddad, would you buy me a dirt bike? I said, Preston, there is one thing that Granddad will never buy you as long as you live, and it's a motorcycle. You can forget that, because I got a feeling he's just as much daredevil as Granddaddy was. And so I don't want to kill my only grandma and my only grandson. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? Now then, if he gets to be an old boy or an older man one day and he's, you know, like Tim. I was so grateful that Tim wasn't like me at all. Tim drove his pickup nice, calm, never had any wrecks, never spun any tires that I knew of. And he drove that little Ford Ranger pickup that I bought him 200,000 miles and didn't do any damage to it, didn't burn out a clutch or nothing. You know, so he had a little, I'm glad he was like he was. Dad wasn't that way, and I kind of got a feeling his son ain't gonna be that way either. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. Now, mother and dad know lots of things. We need to listen. And so many children today, when mom and dad try to tell them something, they don't listen. They just want to go do their own thing. They don't realize what mom and dad is trying to teach them, something that will further their life. That's what my daddy was trying to tell me about that motorcycle. Son, if you drive it right, well, when I went to Japan years later in the Air Force, I had to have transportation, so I bought me a little 90cc Honda motorcycle. I rode it the whole time I was over there, and I never rode that thing in the whole year and a half or 2 years I was over there. I never rode that motorcycle faster than 35 miles an hour. Why? Because the speed limit in Japan is 35 miles an hour. And so that's as fast as I drove it. And of course, I didn't have no wrecks, no problem. And it was a good transportation, didn't cost me much. Let's go to the next verse, verse 9. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. I mean, if we as children could only learn to listen to our moms and dads. The mom and dad, I don't care who you are, child. I know we got one or two here and two or three over here, whatever. But you children, you need to realize, although you may think you know a whole lot, and I know all you boys and girls do. Y'all are smart. Y'all do a lot of things. And I see these boys working out here with their daddy all the time and driving equipment and running machines and all kinds. I see them. They're all smart. But the day you think that dad can't help you, that's when you got a problem. Because you'll go a long way before you ever get to be as smart as dad. Because he's already lived all those years. You know, so when you think, hey, I know more than dad, let me tell you, you ain't even started. I can tell you for sure. Is that right? We all agree with that, right? Okay, verse 10, yeah. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. I mean, there won't be any lack of sinners enticing you. I mean, when you get out there and you start getting out in the world, you're going to run into people. I mean, and we're going to call them sinners because just like those boys that wanted me to break into that store with them that night, I said, there ain't no way. You know, but Thurman, no, you know, we get stuff nobody would ever know. I said, ooh. I said, if my daddy ever found out, I'm dead meat. You know, that's all there is to it. He would wear me out. There wouldn't be enough left for me to sit down. I'd have to grow a new backside. I said, there ain't no way. Ain't no way this boy's going to go out. I am not going to listen to a sinner. He says, my child, if sinners entice you, and I think how many times in my life my dad told me, especially my mother, now when you start running around with the boys and y'all are hanging out at night, now some of those boys are going to want to drink or try drinking alcohol or something, beer, wine or something. I realize they can't get it in Goldsway because Goldsway was not a wet place. You would have to go to Llano or San Saba or somewhere to get it. But my mother and my dad both told me, he said, don't listen to them. When they try to get you to drink that stuff, don't drink it because it's terrible, it tastes terrible, and it's not good for you, and it can cause you to get drunk, and when you get drunk, you can't control yourself, and you might wind up getting killed in a car wreck or something. So, son, whatever you do, don't ever drink. Okay, thank God they told me that over and over and over. I was enticed over and over and over with guys. Ah, come on, Thurman, just have a drink of this beer. They'd wave it in front of my nose. Here, just have one. No, I don't want that. Finally, one day, one did wave it in front of my nose, you know, right up there. You know, I got a sniff of it. I said, wow, now I know why Dad told me not to drink that. I said, I followed behind an old mare and lots of times in a plow. And I said, that stuff smells worse than what comes out of that mare. So I said, no, I wouldn't dare put that stuff in my body. You know, I mean, if you ain't never followed behind an old mare with a born-to-death plow behind you, you ain't lived yet, you know. So, and most of you probably ain't never done that. You ain't old enough to do that. So if you're not under 40, if you're under 60, 70 years old, you probably never even dreamed of falling without a horse. But let me tell you, I've done it. And so anyway, I look at that and I'm like, wow. If sinners entice you, turn your back on them. You know, they'll call you, well, just have a cigarette with us. No, I don't want one. Oh, come on, you chicken. Just have a cigarette. You ain't lived until you smoke this. Try this. Now, have any of y'all in your own life as you grew up as young people were enticed like that with people? Everybody, all of us have been enticed, right? You know, do this. You know, just try this. And some did. Some, you know, you get three or four of them together and you're the only one that don't. And all the rest of them, oh, come on. And they'll just keep on and keep on and keep on. And if you're not careful, they'll entice you. And you'll fall. I mean, I remember one night when my nephew, he was going to work in Brownwood, and a guy was giving a signal to turn left. He was riding a motorcycle. And he saw the guy start, actually not only giving the signal, but start to turn left. So he was going to pass him on the right. And then the guy realized he was at the wrong place, and the guy turned to the right, right in front of him. My nephew hit that pickup. He went right, this is probably going 30, 40 miles an hour. He went right over the hood, right out into the street, and slid to a stop in the highway, and it crushed his hip. He had to have a hip transplant at like 18 years old because of a stupid thing that happened. We put out the plea for a hip. Well, there was a boy here in Dallas that worked in a theater that was Ricky's same age, and he fell from way up above and killed him. And when it killed him, this boy had donated his body, you know, to whatever. And so they called us and said, if you can bring Ricky right now, we have a donor. A young boy just got killed, and man, we throwed him in the car, and we brought him to Dallas, and they put him in surgery immediately, and they replaced his hip. Now, thank God it's still working good. He's 50 years old today. That thing's still working fine. But when we brought him back for a meeting with the doctors, when we came back, I'm sitting in there while Ricky's in with the doctors, and they're checking him over after the surgery's over, and there's a young girl, about 16, sitting there, and she's terrible shape. I said, honey, what happened to you? It took her 20 minutes to tell me. I was in the car with four of my friends, with boys and girls. We all got to drinking. We had too much to drink. Now, this girl could barely get these words out. She liked to, I know it took her at least 20, maybe 30 minutes to tell me what I'm going to tell you in 1 minute. And she said, we ran off of one of those embankments where they had a barricade up for a bridge, and they ran through it. But that couple, or those people, about four or five or six of them kids, all 16, 18, 19 years old, they got to drinking too much and ran off of that. And two or three of the kids were killed, and she was maimed, and her mouth was all tore up, and she was terrible shape, ugly looking little thing. You can tell she had been a beautiful little girl. And as tears flowed out of her eyes right at the last, she said, if I only had that night to live over. I thought, boy, that made an impact on me. I thought, right there in the Proverbs, it says, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. It's too late. She was there with them. She drank with them. She was run off the bridge with them. She was in the back seat. The boy driving, he got too much to drink, ran off the bridge, killed him and one or two of the others, and she was mangled for life. And I've often wondered what's happened to her today. I never seen her again, ever. Only one encounter with that little girl. And I thought, that scripture come to my mind right there. My child, do you know right there God was speaking to her, wasn't he, Mary? He was saying, my child, my little daughter, don't listen to those sinners that are asking you to go out and get drink with them. Yeah, y'all think you're just going to be out and have a little fun. But, you know, it could cost you your life, and it did cost two of them their life. Isn't that sad that happens? And how many people do that? I mean, it happens every day, doesn't it? Is God giving us instructions thousands of years ago what to do? From the owner's manual, he's telling us what to do. And we don't obey him. And so we wind up with the consequences. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. Every one of us know when we were in school, somebody tried to get us to do something we shouldn't have done. And sometimes we did it, didn't we? Sometimes we yield, you know. But you know what we should do? We should say no. Is that right? We should say no. Absolutely no. Absolutely no. No, I will not do that. I'm not going to go out drinking. And praise God, my mother and dad beat that into me so much that I was one of the lucky ones. I lived through all that. That when I'd get with some guys, if they were going to drink, I'd say, hey, if we're going to drink, if you're going to drink some bottle of beer, you're going to get out and I'm going to drive. I said, I ain't going to ride with you and you driving, you drinking. Oh, I'm going to be okay. I said, then stop, pull over and let me out. I'm going to walk home, but I ain't riding with you guys drinking. And that's the way I lived my life. And guess what? I've lived 75 years and I have not had my body still in one piece. You know, I ain't got no broken bone. I ain't never had a broken bone. Is that wonderful? I don't want to have any broken bones. I want to be able to be a living example of what the Word of God says we should be. And that is, if we obey Him and do what He says, He says, I promise you, you'll have a long, healthy life. Is that what He said? So that's, I want to be one of those. I don't want to be one of these that listened to the sinners and tore me up. Verse 11. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Boy, that's kind of tough stuff there, isn't it? At least I wasn't around that kind of kids. But is there those kind of kids today?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're everywhere. Yeah. And another reason we have so many of those kind of children today is because so many of those children have a computer at home with a deal in front of them that's got the most wicked war game or whatever on the screen, and all they do is kill, murder, and destroy human beings. You know that? Never let your kid have one of those games. If they got one, take it away from them. Burn it, throw it away. But you don't want your kids to grow up believing that murdering and killing stuff. You know, we are training a group of kids that's going to, at the drop of a hat, to kill you. Just think. What if the commander in general? I've thought about this. I mean, I was in the military 4 years, and I never had what we have today. But what we have today is so far from anything I've ever seen. If a commander, if we had a martial law, if something went crazy and we had to have martial law, and people are crazy, and I know people do crazy things, but if I had a commanding general that told me that man right there, although I know he's an American citizen, just kill him, I couldn't do it. I could not kill a man that I knew was an American citizen. But, you know, the time may come when they're trying to program us so that when he says, see that man right there, kill him. No question of that, just kill him. And he'll do it. We're training our young people to be like that. Now then, if I'm in a foreign country and I'm fighting a war, and my general said, or my colonel or major, whatever, if he's in charge of my division, he said, them four people coming across there, they're against us, kill them. Hey, if they got a uniform on, look like they're not with us, they're against us, what am I going to do? I'm going to kill them. That's right. You know, you don't want to kill nobody, but when you're in war, that's just the way life is. Verse 12. Let's swallow them alive, like the grave. Let's swallow them whole, like those who go down to the pit of death. We got some wicked people, but we got people that think like that today. Verse 13. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. That's what Cheryl a while ago, she told me. She said, I said, when we was here, she said, I said, what was that noise over there a while ago? She said, well, somebody knocked a little angel off and broke it. She said, but I'm going to have Scott glue it back together. I said, forget it. It's just stuff. Throw it in the trash. Don't worry about spending somebody's time gluing a broke angel back together. There's angels everywhere out there, right? Is that right? Sure, you can buy one anywhere. You just go down to a store. They got them everywhere. You know, we put so much emphasis on junk. That's what I'll call it, junk. That's what it is, right, Michael?
Yes, sir.
It's just junk. It ain't nothing. What's important? Souls. Human beings. That's the only thing that's important. The rest of it don't count for nothing. Just people. We want to do the best we can to train and equip people to become good souls of God, that can learn to love God and love His people and be used mightily, you know, to realize that we serve a living God and He is alive and well, and He will discipline us. I mean, if we don't discipline our children, then God will discipline them for us. And you might not like the discipline. In fact, I remember a young girl one time that I knew that she was, we were wild when she got to be 19, 20, 21. She was running around doing stupid things, drinking and everything. She told me one night, she said, I don't know how I got home in the snowstorm. I passed out every few minutes, but yet she said, I still got home. So her mother and her grandmother went together, and the prayer they prayed was mind-boggling. I know this family. They said, Lord, our daughter is not doing right. So we turn her over to you. We ask you to do whatever it takes to straighten her life up, but just please don't kill her. Now see, sometimes God kills you. He'll straighten you up, but he'll kill you. Some people, that's what it takes. But they prayed, please, Lord, straighten her up, but please don't kill her. Well, God did. He straightened that little girl up. He made a totally different woman out of that girl. And today she's alive and well, still got all of her pieces. You know, see, she's not killed. But if they hadn't have prayed that, I guarantee that woman, if she hadn't had that mother and grandmother praying like that for her, a few more encounters like that night coming home in the snowstorm she told me about, passing out, not even remembering how she got home, there had to be an angel helping that girl get home. You know that? And because of God's love, he got her there. But I don't know how long he'll put up with something like that. And if you ain't got a grandmother and a mother or a daddy or whatever that's praying like that, then eventually the Lord just backs off and said, okay, you ain't going to straighten up. So he just lets you run into a tree and kills you. And then he brings you home and your body, you leave it down here on earth. And so instead of living to be 70, 80, 90 years old, you made it to about 25. Does that happen every day? It happens every day. If somebody gets killed in a car wreck or a motorcycle every day. Just like these people here, where all this stuff we're going to take. Wow, verse 14. Come throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. You know what? Instead of all sharing the loot, you know what all we need to do? We need to have a good daddy behind us that'll teach us how to do something so we can learn how to do something so we can make our own money so we can not only help ourselves but help others, right? That's what we need to do. We don't need to be thieves. In verse 15, my child, don't go along with them. Stay far away from their paths. Is God giving us good advice here? Yeah. He's telling you, if you're listening, he's giving you good advice. My young boys, my young girls, don't throw your stuff in with those young boys and girls that sinners. Them that's outside the church that don't think they should be in the church, and them ones that will mock you and laugh at you and scorn you. Oh, you're one of them stupid kids that go to church, huh? It's amazing what these people are doing to our kids to intimidate them, and they don't know enough about God's word to even come back at them. We need to make sure they have learned that. You know, we got to teach our children how to be children of God, that realize that the fear of God. I mean, I'll never forget that night that I was at a church down in Irving, and I heard there was going to be a man there that he was going to teach a course on spiritual authority, and I was still a Baptist back in those days, and I had never heard such stuff in my life. So I went down there, and I thought, well, I'm going to see. And it was a pretty big church, and this guy was a little guy, about 5'4" or 5", probably weighed 140 pounds, 30, 40 pounds. He was a good little preacher, though, about spiritual authority. I'll never forget this. We were about halfway through the evening, and all of a sudden, a man wasn't sitting too far from me. Back there in the back, this guy jumped up and started running down toward the front. And I thought, wow, I wonder what's wrong with him. He starts running down toward the front. I have no idea what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, this guy gets about halfway to the front. And, of course, the length of the church is twice as long as ours is, at least twice. This guy started screaming, I'm going to kill you. I mean, man, you could hear him all over that church. He was running like a lion. I mean, I had no idea. You know, the spiritual authority I had. I saw that little 5'4" or 5", whatever guy, step out behind the pulpit, walk right out to the center of the aisle. That guy's running like crazy, and he gets about maybe as far here to where that desk is back there. And this guy says, Father, in the name of Jesus, send an angel and put him on his face right now in Jesus' name. And I saw that guy go over head first, hands behind his back, and his head on the floor. And he's sitting there like this on the floor, pinned down, can't move. And I thought, wow, That's impressive. That was impressive. I'd never seen anything like that in a Baptist church, I'll tell you for sure. So this little guy walked up to me and said, "Now what are you going to do for me?" He said, "I'm going to kill you." He said, "No, you just thought you were." He said, "You demon of hell." He said, "I have authority in you now." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I break every curse over you, and I command that demon of hell that's speaking out of your mouth to come out of you and go to the abyss. And now, Lord, I ask you to fill him with the Holy Spirit." He said, "Now, angel, turn him loose and throw him over on his back." He turned him over on his back. He looked up and he said, "Now, son, get up. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." And I watched that man bring that boy to Christ. I thought, wow, that kind of changes the way you think. When you get to see something like that, I had never in my life even heard or seen any, but I was there that night. I saw that one. And I've had a few experiences like that on my own since then. So it works for me. I've learned I'm a son of God. I'm not an unworthy sinner saved by grace. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? I used to be an unworthy sinner, and I was saved by grace, but I ain't there no more. I'm a son of God, a joint heir with the King. Don't go in with them. Stay far away from their paths. Verse 16. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. And it's amazing how many people in every city where there's murders going on all the time. This was written thousands of years ago. And as far as I'm concerned, it's worse now than it was then. Don't you agree? I think it's terrible. But it's only terrible because we're not doing what God told us to do. You know, the church is the most powerful institution on the face of the earth. We have all this power and authority. Verse 17. Even if a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. That don't say much for us, does it? Here we are made in the image of God, and a crazy little bird out there. He sees somebody setting a trap, and he says, "Boo, I'm going to go over here, fly it over here, and get my lunch. I ain't going to eat out of there. I know what that guy's up to." A bird. A bird is smarter than we are. A bird sees a trap being set. It knows to stay away. Oh, my goodness gracious. You would think that us as human beings, when we see something or hear somebody trying to convince us to do something wrong, we would be smart enough as sons and daughters of God to stay away, right? But we're not. Verse 18. But these people set an ambush for themselves. They're trying to get themselves killed, and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. How many people drive down here in Dallas, and they drive crazy, and some of them are in a big hurry, and they think they can't wait. They do things crazy, especially if they happen to be on drugs. And I had no idea how many people is on drugs and taking drugs, and even. I was with a doctor here many years ago when marijuana first came out. And everybody today, you know, they've even made marijuana legal in a few places. He said, "Thurman, whatever you ever do, don't ever, 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 ever put any marijuana in your body, no way, through smoke or nothing." He said, "Don't ever, ever." He said, if somebody's in a room smoking that stuff, he said, "Get away from it. Don't let it even get in your nostrils." I said, "Why?" He said, "We don't even know all the things marijuana does to the human brain." But he said, "I guarantee it will rearrange your brain." And he said, "If you smoke marijuana, there's going to be things that's going to happen in your life that you're never going to be able to explain, and it's all because you've got this marijuana running around in your brain." So I really didn't understand that until years later, whenever they come out with the movies about the Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. And you know some of the things, the people that they dress them up with all the stuff on Star Wars? There's a preacher guy. He was a young preacher. He had gotten on drugs and marijuana and all kinds of stuff when he was younger. And he got on this and he saw these two men. Every time he'd go on this little trip and with these different kinds of drugs, he would see these two guys, and they were really nice to him. And he didn't have no friends because he had a hair lip. And, you know, people kind of shun you if you're not normal. Well, some people shun you when you're normal, you know, so it didn't make any difference. But anyway, he wanted to be loved like everybody else, and he had no friends. And he found out when he was on this drug, he had friends in his vision or whatever it was, and he didn't know what they were, had no idea. And so finally, that this guy, he... after he's seen these things and they got but was really good to him until he got to a point with the drugs where he had to have the drugs. Now these two things became very mean to him and rough and everything else. And finally, by the grace of God, a man led him to Christ and got him delivered from all that, and he became a young pastor. And then one day he was watching television, and when he was watching, he turned on the TV and there was a Star Wars deal. And there was his two friends on the TV. He made a phone call to California and wanted to know who made these Star Wars sets. And they told him, and he said, I've got to talk to the man that comes up with these ideas. And so they said, well, the only way you could do that, you'd have to come out here. He said, I'm coming. So he went to California, to the studios, and he found the man, and he asked him a question. How did you design those two beings that was on that set? He said, they used to be two friends of mine when I was on marijuana. Now, what do you think those things were?
Demons.
So he did a duplicate of his friends that he was on when he was on marijuana. Those beings that you saw that look so funny and wild are literally right out of the pit of hell. When I heard him tell me that day, I thought, you know, we have no idea what these things are doing to us. We have no idea. I said, anybody that's take any kind of a drug, I mean, after hearing all these things I've heard, and after I've heard Roe talk to me about even medicine, you know, from the drugstore, if I did come down with a splitting headache, I would suffer through it until I got over it, but I would not take anything to try to cut it down. Yes. I ain't putting nothing in this body because there's so many things that is going to mess you up. And when I heard him tell me that story about those demons, he said, those were my two friends that were in that I got to see when I would get high on marijuana. I thought about what the doctor said. We don't even know what all that stuff does to you, how it's going to mess up your brain, how it's going to change you. So he said, whatever you do, don't ever put a drug in your body. Now, was that good counsel?
Yes.
So why don't we listen? Is there any young people getting on drugs every day?
Yes.
Sure. Are they dying like crazy? Sure. They're not listening. They're not wise. There's no wisdom there. They're fools. That's what they are. Is that what God's word called them? It called them fools because they want to do their own thing. They're not willing to listen to men and women of God. Besides that, where is the only place you can find good men and women of God? Christians. They got to be Christians. Other than that, there ain't nobody. There ain't no good advice. If the advice you give don't come from the Word of God, it ain't no good. Is that right, Eric? It needs to come out of God's Word. He'll change your life forever. Verse 19. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Now, how many young people have you seen in your life that their goal was to get through with college and out of school and by the time they're 35 or 40 years old, be a millionaire? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, yeah. I got to have it. And then you find one of them and finally gets there. You get to be a millionaire. Now, man, I made $1 million. Now then, why don't you come to church with me? No, I ain't got time to go to church. Yeah, come on, you could come to church and I could show you how you could tithe into the kingdom of God and you could make a second million. No, that don't work, Thurman. That's crazy. No, that will work. God can give men and women. He can take, here's what God says about money. If you're his son or daughter, he says, if I can't trust you and you be faithful over a little, do you think I'm going to trust you with a lot? Why do you think we as Christians are broke? Because we don't tithe. We don't give God nothing. You know, I mean, I think how many Christians, how many people that come to church that never give God anything. I've had people tell me, I'm not going to give money to the church because I'm giving money to you. No, you ain't giving it to me. You're giving it to God. I may take that money. I may be in charge of that money to use that money how I want to further this kingdom and to travel all over this country and buy CDs and DVDs. I spend every dime we get here for something for the kingdom of God. I do spend it. I spend a lot of it, all of it. I don't keep it. It runs through. But I'm going to tell you what. I was thinking of all the years that when I was young, when I wanted a Mooney airplane, you know, I finally got to buy me a 150 years ago. And then I finally got to where I could buy me a Mooney, an older model Mooney, and fly 125 miles an hour. And I thought I died and went to heaven. I thought, man, it can't get no better than this. I would have never, ever dreamed the day would come that I would be in the ministry when God would have given me totally free a Cessna 421 you know, the twin-engine pressurized airplane that we fly everywhere, and it's so nice. And Dave, he loves sitting up there in the right seat with me. You know, he loves it. I mean, it's comfortable, isn't it, Dave? It's very comfortable. We love going in that thing, and Cheryl, she really loves hers. Back in the back, she's got the back seat in the back, and that's the only seat in the airplane that'll lay completely down like a bed. So we get in the airplane, take off, and she's, you know, and she's zonked out till we get there. Sometimes on short final, I'll holler over the headset if she's got hers on. I say, honey, are you up? Oh, are we there? Yeah, we're there. My, we just left. I said, yeah, 2.5 hours ago. But it's amazing. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Wow. And when we that are greedy, if people don't tithe, they will never be blessed. I guarantee you that God, he ain't going to bless you if you're a thief. Verse 20, wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. Wisdom is out here right now saying, come to me. Ask me what you will. I will show you how to do things. Ask the Lord. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask who? God, who gives liberally to all. So if all we got to do to get wisdom is ask the Lord. 21. She calls to the crowds along the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. In other words, wisdom is crying out everywhere. I'm here. I'm here to help you. And what do? We just walk on by. We don't ask God. I just stand in awe at the young people today that are out there, young and old, on the streets. You can't go to Dallas without seeing people standing on a corner begging for money. Is that right? They're there. Well, they made a choice. They really have. They made the wrong choice. You know, you could be doing the same thing. You know, you could be down there doing it. But I'm not going to do that because I'm a son of God. I know how to work. You know, I can do things. You know, if nothing else, I can clean a toilet. You know, I can sweep the floor. I can mop the deck. You know, I can go hunting. You know, I can do anything. You know, I can find something to do to make money. Verse 22, how long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? What's God calling those that won't listen to him?
Fools.
See, if we listen to God and we do what he says, he will give us, he will bless our socks off. He'll give us good health and long life and prosperity. And that's what we're all looking for, isn't it?
Amen.
We're looking for good health, long life, and prosperity. And all the rules are in the book. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you and thank you for the beauty of this day. I thank you for this magnificent book, the Owner's Manual. And thank you for all those that you have moved on their heart to listen to your words. Because the book does us no good if we don't listen to its instructions. But Lord, help us to listen to the instructions of yours, your words, and then help us to do what you say. Help us to raise our children in the love and admonition of God. And Lord, may we raise our children up like you tell us to, so those children will be able to raise their children. And so we will have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that will all be prosperous and successful and all love Jesus. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you and praise you for all the things you do. And I thank you that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we truly are sons and daughters of God. So therefore, we are little gods. And so we should begin to act like God. We should be holy and disciplined and just like he is, because we are his children. Now, Father, thank you and praise you for this wonderful day. And thank you for blessing all of us. And as we go this week, may you bless us all with lots of good things. May we have the best week this week we've had. May next week even be better. And then, Lord, may we do great things for your kingdom. And I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.